You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Check out the site now. All the Week 10 Sunday fallout is there, what happened on the field, and that's what we also break down here every Monday on Roundup Monday. We look at all the Sunday action and give you all the fantasy football takeaways you need to know from every game, so really deep dive into what we saw in the box score beyond that as well with certain developments, injuries, and things that surprised us, things that disappointed us. And it's good to break it down to know how we can get better for the next week. And week 10 was certainly one that was a bit of a head scratcher for a lot of things we thought were going to come through and didn't, both in terms of production of particular players and the way games went with wins and losses and all that. So let's dive right into it. We know we have a lot of games to get to 11 here on the show. So let's go to our first game and look at it. The Bears beat the Lions 20-13. The big news here was before the game, Matthew Stafford was ruled out with his back and hip issues. So medically not cleared to play. So Jeff Driscoll had to play. Well, I've done it to Jeff Driscoll. He did his best to make the players relevant. You did get 5 catches for 77 from Marvin Jones. Kenny Golladay had 9 targets. The connection was off, but he redeems his day with that 47-yard touchdown, 3 catches, 57 in the score. So Driscoll kept their guys relevant. TJ Hawkinson had an okay game. He could have done a little bit more, 3 for 47. So there was that. The running game, they lost Ty Johnson here to a concussion. The injuries continue to mount for the Lions at running back Kerryon Johnson, Trey Carson. They couldn't keep them healthy, and now you have Ty Johnson going down as well. So this is pretty ugly. J.D. McKissic is now left. He had 16 touches for 55 yards. So he's what's left. PPR league, definitely McKissic has the most value here. Really the old school version of Theo Riddick has kind of emerged here as the Lions have to go to that type of offense. So interesting there with McKissic. So he's probably going to be your best option here. They just picked up Paul Perkins, but he looked really ineffective with 8 touches for 18 yards. So we'll see how long Matthew Stafford needs to be out. It's a tricky injury. The Lions are obviously now 3-5-1, not going anywhere. So Jeff Driscoll was decent. Again, 269-1 and also 37 yards rushing in this game. So he's a little capable. We've seen this, the athleticism before, the Florida product, played with the Bengals and got a chance to play there a little bit. So he's not totally incapable. He's not the greatest quarterback. Obviously a big downgrade from Matthew Stafford, but in terms of the principles, getting those guys involved was a good thing to see. Now, on the Bears side of things, weird game plan, but Mitchell Trubisky actually played one of his better games. He was sacked 5 times, but 16 of 23, 173, gets Taylor Gabriel into the end zone, Tarik Cohen, and Ben Broniker. Allen Robinson with a solid game, 6 for 86 on 9 targets. Well, this is the way that you want to operate with Trubisky. They got Cohen a few more touches. He actually responded well in this game. Not big yardage-wise, but he was effective when they needed 4 for 23 in reception. Some PPR value there, 3 for 14, and the score there. David Montgomery thought it was a big game for him, but the Bears couldn't get in control of this game until late. They really took over in the third quarter with 13 points there to kind of establish their lead. So they weren't playing with the lead as much as you would have liked against Lions team down to the backup quarterback, but really difficult there to see with the Bears that you expect a little bit more Montgomery, but it was the Trubisky show to some degree, and they only had 173 yards passing with him there. But again, you want Trubisky to play a little bit better. The opening is up for Montgomery. The schedule is a little tricky for the Bears, but they do get the Lions here in a couple weeks again, so good development there that Robinson back to being a number one here. Gabriel has some viability as a wide receiver 3. And Cohen, PPR leagues, has to get a little bit more consideration after they used him a little bit more in this particular game. Now, we move on to our next game, and this wasn't much of a game on in terms of the scoreboard. The Ravens are all over the Bengals, 49-13. This was in Cincinnati, by the way. So we knew it was a mismatch, but to this level, Lamar Jackson, 223-3 passing, 15 of 17, passer rating perfect of 158.3. The second time he's done this. He did it also in week one against Miami. We know he dominated in fantasy in that game. Also, 65 yards rushing, including that 47-yard touchdown run, was a thing of beauty. You got to watch it. The spin moves and all that Lamar Jackson put on. This guy has been the fantasy football MVP. The way you drafted him is more of a QB2 with upside. He's become the QB1 that everyone wants at this point. He doesn't have bad games and just great here. Now, Mark Ingram is disappointing. He had 9 rushes for 34. He expected a lot more in this blowout, but they just didn't need to do much. They got a few big plays on offense from Lamar Jackson. Passing, got the long touchdown Marquise Brown. 4 for 80 on 4 targets on that score. 49-yard play to open the game. Mark Andrews returned 6 for 53 and 2 on 8 targets here. Nick Boyle was actually the more effective tight end, 4 catches for 78. But Andrews gets the touchdowns here. Boyle still kind of relevant now, being used here in recent weeks. And remember, they don't really have a number 2 receiver, so really Boyle and Andrews are the guys behind Brown at this point with Jackson and the 2 tight end sets and the power running that they do. So Boyle certainly has a little bit of value during these bye weeks, as you see the numbers, especially in PPR leagues. Andrews back to being close to what we have as a tight end 1 in the top level this year with the rebound game, so that's good to see. But Ingram, a little concerning, but this running game overall, you thought Gus Edwards could do something, only 4 for 17 there, Justice Hill 3 for 11. So nothing still behind Ingram. You wonder if that's going to change if he continues to be ineffective as they need more playmakers during the stretch run. Now, so typical Lamar Jackson game. On the Bengals side of things, Ryan Finley made his debut. We didn't really like much of it here because Tyler Boyd, it was decent, 6 for 62 and 8 targets. You'll take that in PPR, but Auden Tate didn't really do much here. Alex Erickson disappeared without Andy Dalton. Tyler Eifert had a random touchdown here, but only 2 catches for 20 on 4. So Joe Mixon, however, somehow in a blowout like this, a weird, weird game. I mean, 30 carries in a 49-13 game. Well, really, the Ravens were letting them run at this point. I mean, they were not going to get back in the game. So some forced numbers, some garbage rushing that you never see. But 32 touches there for 151 for Mixon. So maybe this will work out where it's going to be the Joe Mixon show and really not trust much else and really help his value. But didn't really like the matchup. But weirdly, because the matchup was so bad, Mixon had the effectiveness late. So weird things can happen in fantasy, and that was certainly one development in this week. They actually ran for 157 yards. So the Ravens' run defense is going to look a lot worse after this game, but I don't think they care one bit because those were meaningless rushing yards in the end for the Bengals. But Mixon, again, the best source of offense for this team right now with Finley in there at quarterback, who just didn't look all that great through a pick 6 here. Ravens defense, 2 defensive touchdowns as well, so that hurt more production on the rushing attack there as well in this game. Now, the next game that we look at here before we take our first break here is the Bills and Browns, and this had slightly fewer points. I mean, they combined for fewer than the Ravens put up in the one game. Browns win this one 19-16. They were 2.5-point favorites, so right on the money there in this low-scoring game. Baker Mayfield looks actually good. 238 and 2 for Baker Mayfield. 20 for 116 for Nick Chubb. They tried to force Kareem Hunt in there. He was more of the receiving back. So what we saw is that Chubb was still the lead back. He still got 22 touches for 121. You had Kareem Hunt making his debut for the team. 11 touches for him. 7 catches for 44. So some PPR relevancy there for him immediately playing over Hilliard there as the receiving back, so that's good to know we have a defined role a little bit for him. So 11 touches, 74, PPR value for Hunt, certainly in the flex spot here, while Chubb is still your RB1 supreme. With Mayfield, he was bound to play better, and he did. Rashard Higgins really helped, nice little run and design, catch, touchdown. Jarvis Landry gets into the end zone again, 10 targets, catches 9 for 97. So they're adjusting. They're going to the short to intermediate passing game to work, and it's getting Mayfield in a groove. Of course, that's hurting Odell Beckham Jr., 5 for 57 on 12 targets. So that connection is still way off. In a way, Baker Mayfield went old school to what he had last year. and we know he was good last year. So maybe this Beckham-Mayfield thing is kind of hurt, as they're hard-pressed to get him the ball, and it turns into turnovers and all that. But clean game. So Mayfield has some upside maybe going forward that he came through in this tough matchup at home. Now, Josh Allen saves his day with a couple rushing touchdowns, but he looked bad again. 266 only there, 22 of 41. So in the end, he ends up with those 12 points off the rushing, touchdowns with the 28, but he gave you nothing there in the passing game. So really tough now. John Brown, solid game, 5 for 77, but 11 targets, so pretty inefficient there. Cole Beasley continues the PPR monster, 4 for 74 and 6 targets. So it's really a spread out. The big thing that was disappointing here was the lack of running game. Devin Singletary, 8 for 42, but they didn't stick with it. He had 3 catches for 8. Frank Gore had a touchdown that didn't count there as well. So, just an ugly game overall that we saw here in Cleveland for the Bills offense. I mean, Allen, that's what you're hoping for now. I mean, if you're counting on his passing, forget it. You're just hoping that he jaunts in the end zone a couple times, which happened here. And now that he's a goal line back, he hurts Singletary and Gore's value as well. So, it's still meh, not exciting team here, the Bills, in terms of fantasy. And that's where you have to keep temper your expectations for Singletary going forward, even though he's a very talented back. Get him the ball a little bit more. Let him do the damage. Let him get the touchdowns, and we'll feel certainly a lot better about that. So we still have another 8 games to talk about here. But first, we got to take a break, guys, to talk about sex. And you know what we're talking about, great sex. And that means we're talking about Blue Chew. It's Blue Chew, that's blue like the color blue, bluechew.com. Brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that it works. You can take Blue Chew anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as pills, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, guys, we're all used to talking about a big game in the bedroom, but everyone can benefit from extra function and more confidence when it counts, and Blue Chew is what you need to come through in the clutch. Blue Chew is prescribed online, shipped straight to your door in the discreet package. So none of the awkwardness that comes with visiting the doctor or waiting in the pharmacy. And Blue Chew is also cheaper than a pharmacy because they're prepared and shipped directly to you and made right here in the USA. Right now, there's a special deal to you, the listener of Locked On Fantasy Football. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the promo code Locked On. You'll only pay the $5 shipping. Again, that's the promo code Locked On. You just have to enter it at BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com. Promo code Locked On to try it free for now. Blue Chew, the better, cheaper, and faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring Locked On Fantasy Football. We'll be right back to look at our next wave of games on Roundup Monday, Week 10. All right, let's pick up where we left off here. And this was the shocker of the day. I think there was another shocker as well, but this one was a little bit more shocking because it was a home game. The Saints were favored big time. They lose 26-9 at home. This was just an utter disappointment. If you started Saints other than Michael Thomas, you were like, what the heck is going on here? I mean, Drew Brees threw for 287, but he sacked 6 times. They don't manage a touchdown. It's 3 Will Lutz field goals in this game. So the Falcons were giving up big plays and points in droves. The Saints cannot find the end zone in this game. So kind of ridiculous development in this one. And Alvin Kamara, 4 carries for 24 yards. And he had 8 for 50 to make his game okay in a PPR. But, wow, I mean, it's just hard to fathom that they didn't play with the lead in this one. They lost by 17 at home. So pretty bad performance. A lot of penalties. Not much there in the passing game beyond Michael Thomas. Jared Cook actually showed up here, 6 for 74 and 10 targets, as well as Kamara catching 8 of 10 for the 50 there. But they didn't really have much else going on. They couldn't stretch the field. Their longest pass play here was 22 yards to Jared Cook. So that's a big problem for the Saints. And the Falcons cleaned things up. They got after their quarterback. He didn't have time to throw downfield. Only 6.4 yards per completion there for Drew Brees. So really bad game overall for Drew Brees when the dinking and dunking and the pressure just doesn't happen usually for the Saints. But just a really sloppy game. I wouldn't read too much into it. Except you have to be concerned that they don't really have anyone else. I mean, Ted Ginn and Traquan Smith, no home run threats. They need that to open things up in the running game and get leads so they can run the ball. That didn't happen in this one. So I think you chalk it up to a bad game, but there is a little concern about Kamara and the usage. He's just not been what we've seen in the past. He's coming off the ankle and knee injuries that caused him to miss 2 games before the bye. So we'll watch this situation a little bit more carefully. But the Saints do have a little bit of a tougher schedule going forward. Buccaneers, and their run defense is hard, so we'll have to watch that. But Drew Brees, every week you put him in there, but you had to be really disappointed with this performance with no touchdowns. Now, on the Falcons side of things, the big takeaway is Devonta Freeman was knocked out with a foot injury. You have Devonta Freeman, 10 carries for 38 yards, but Brian Hill here was 20 for 61. He wasn't all that effective there running the ball, but he does catch a pass with Freeman off for a touchdown, one catch on two targets there for 10 TDs. So interesting line. Hill's new the backup with Ito Smith hurt, by the way, the neck injury, that Hill's the next man up. So Hill's going to be a big pickup here. Freeman, we know, has had issues with the knee, now it's the foot. So a lot of question marks about the value of Devonta Freeman going forward. So Brian Hill is going to be a hot, hot pickup and deserves to be. He's the next man up. They really like this kid. They've moved him up quickly after Smith was hurt, so something to watch there. Now, Julio Jones, 3 for 79, 9 targets. He knew it was a bad matchup, but Marshon Lattimore got hurt with a thigh injury. He needed a 54-yard play to still redeem himself, so still disappointing if you're Julio owner for the late first-round or early second-round pick you invested in. Now, Calvin Ridley, we thought was in a good spot, but he ends up with only 47 yards, and one was on a 19-yard run there, so pretty bad there. Austin Hooper comes through with a touchdown, but it was only 4 for 17 on 5 targets otherwise. So weird game that the Falcons were actually ahead, so no garbage points for Matt Ryan. He ends up with 2 TDs, though, 182 and 2, so decent when you look at the low volume and the game script of this for Matt Ryan to still salvage his day like that for sure. But Hill, again, the biggest takeaway there, be ready to pounce on Hill. Get the latest lottery ticket to maybe scratch here in the season. Now, the next game was the crosstown rivalry, really the New York-New Jersey rivalry between the Giants and Jets. 34-27, the Jets win. A little bit of a wild one. Now, let's start with the Giants, actually, on this one. Daniel Jones, what a game for him. 308-4. He did lose a fumble that was scooped and scored by Jamal Adams. But, again, 308-4, plus he made up for the turnover with 20 yards rushing. This kid's legit. He picked apart a really bad defense, and part of it was Saquon Barkley. This is the stat of the weekend, 13 carries, 1 yard for Saquon Barkley. So he averaged 0.1. He got hurt in this game, got banged up with a shoulder, 5 catches for 30. That's not much consolation if you're a Barkley owner to get those PPR points. You're expecting him to smash against the Jets. It did not happen here at all. But that opened things up for Jones. Darius Slayton looks like a legitimate outside threat. 10 for 121 and 2 scores against the secondary and 14 targets. Golden Tate, 4 for 95 and 2 and a 61-yard beautiful run after the catch there. So there's some legitimate weapons here without Sterling Shepard, the concerns about the concussion. Also no Evan Ingram in this game, and Red Ellison looked pretty good, catching all 3 targets for 42 yards. So there's a lot here for Daniel Jones to work with the weapons. They're coming together. He's really locked in with Slayton and Tate and Elson more than really he was with Shepard and Ingram there working with Tate. So that's great news for Daniel Jones going forward. In good matchups, he's going to come through. And a promising, definitely a fantasy football star in the making here in future seasons, especially if they go out and draft like a true number one, like a Jerry Jeudy or someone like that. We definitely want to watch that. So Saquon, just chalk it up to injury. The game flow didn't help either with the Jets having a lead here. And Barkley, however, didn't look good. Well, so we'll have to see if that injury makes them question things, because they are 2-8. They could slow him down or shut him down for a bit, and then it's back to Wayne Gallman, and we'll see what he can do in his place. Now, with the Jets, still ugly for Le'Veon Bell, but 22 touches, 68 yards, but gets in the end zone. That makes you feel a little bit better. Sam Darnold, not great, 218-1. He did have a rushing touchdown, so came through okay, but still nothing to see there with the high ceiling. Now, Robbie Anderson, we can officially say RIP to Robbie Anderson's fantasy value. This was a primo matchup for Robbie Anderson to get deep and score. The Giants were giving up big touchdowns like that. Instead, they were the one making the big touchdowns. Robbie Anderson, 1 catch for 11 yards on 3 targets. He's not going to be re-signed by this team, folks. It's done. He's free agent. Maybe he gets into better offense, maybe like the Saints, who maybe need a deep threat here and he can do something, but none this offense. Demaryius Thomas has kind of squashed him, 6 for 84 on 9 targets to lead the team, 5 for 81 and a touchdown, Jameis Crowder. So Thomas, Crowder, Bell, clearly more in the flow of Adam Gase's offense. Adam Gase has destroyed Robbie Anderson, so we'll move on from there. So I don't think he should be owned anymore in fantasy leagues. If you're holding on, hoping for some big things, it's over here for Anderson in this new offense. Now, the next game we'll talk about is the Cardinals and Buccaneers. This was a wild one, as we expected. A little sloppy, a lot of field goals. 30-27, the Buccaneers hold off the Cardinals. The Cardinals questionable pass interference call that didn't go the way they wanted. Late in the game, they could have come back and won. But the bottom line for fantasy is Kyler Murray. We want him to be consistent. We've had either boom games or bust games. Second straight boom game for Kyler Murray. 324-3, throws a pick, but also rushes for 38 yards. The story here is Christian Kirk. We've been waiting for this breakout. He's been hurt for most of the season. Looked finally fully healthy. 6 for 138 and 3 touchdowns on 10 targets. So locked into him. And here comes Andy Isabella. He's a thing now, guys. After he scored against the 49ers late on that awesome play, another big play here, 55-yarder, 3 for 78 and 3. So this is the offense that they've really wanted to use. Kirk and Isabella in the open field. The speed and quickness all over there. And that, of course, opened things up for Larry Fitzgerald, who caught all 8 targets for 71. So this is really what Cliff Kingsbury wanted. A part of it is they could not run the ball in this game. The Bucs are very good against the run. David Johnson, this is ugly here. You got negative points if you had David Johnson. 6 touches for 10 yards, and he lost a fumble. So this is pretty awful right now. Kenyon Drake looks like the preferred back at this point. 16 touches for 41. So if something's still not right with David Johnson, this offense could be pivoting to Drake with Johnson not effective and looking a little worn down and slow. And Chase Edmonds on the shelf here with the hamstring. So Kenny Drake, all of a sudden, if you had Kenny Drake and you were sitting on him there with the Dolphins and getting nothing, you have the benefit. But if you were on David Johnson, now you're shaking your head. You don't know what to do. And it's very frustrating indeed to see that. Now, on the Buccaneers side of things, typical Jameis Winston game, 358 yards passing, a touchdown, 2 interceptions. That's the Jameis Winston game. And now Jameis Winston is going to give you some running. 3 rushes for 40 yards in this game. So that's good, because the 40 yards is exactly what you need to erase those 2 interceptions and make the day a little bit more viable for you. Now, Peyton Barber actually got in the end zone in this game, 11 for 43 in the touchdown running, but Ronald Jones was still the preferred back here. He had the touchdown as well. They just couldn't run all that effectively on the Cardinals. But on top of 11 for 29, a score there, 8 for 77 in the passing game, second leading receiver after Mike Evans. So this is a good distribution here, 4 for 82 on 6 for Evans, 8 for 77 on all 8 targets for Jones. Godwin caught 6 of 12, more inefficient for him than usual, 6 of 12 for 74. And O.J. Howard, 4 for 47, and a touchdown like the Cardinals do every week, giving up to tight ends. And that's what we saw in this game here. So it's a better offense overall. More things are getting involved with the Bucs. They're finding their groove a little bit. Now, if they cannot turn over the ball, things would be fantastic here, but we know that's going to be a concern with them always going forward. Our next game that we'll talk about in this window before taking our next break is the Chiefs and the Titans. Now, this was weird. At the 1 o'clock window to close these games, 35-32, the Titans win on a last gasp touchdown there from Ryan Tannehill. So Adam Humphries scores. His only catch of the game, Anthony Firkser scored, the Harvard tight end, 3 for 36 and a touchdown. Firkser, he scored. Khalif Raymond, somebody named Khalif Raymond, made a long pass down the middle, 52 yards. So really, without Corey Davis, they went total committee, and Delanie Walker, by the way. So hurting a Jonah Smith's value that Firkser was involved. You had Adam Humphries and Tajay Sharp and A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown did nothing here. 1 catch for 17 and 4 targets. So pretty ugly game. But Tannehill comes through. He has 37 yards rushing. He's looked good. 181 and 2. So great game by him. Derrick Henry, however, is what's really happening here. In November, he dominates. And when you have a legitimate passing game to open things up, you're going to have Derrick Henry go off like this. 23 carries, 188, and 2 scores for Henry. He's the reason they won, as well as the 1 pick 6 they got against Mahomes. So it was good to see the Titans having a legitimate offense. You just can't trust the receivers. But certainly Tannehill has been solid here for several weeks as a streamer, and Henry is back to the good graces as the RB1 we all know and love. Now, with the Chiefs, this is good for Patrick Mahomes when their defense stinks, because he has 446 and 3 here. So they had the defensive touchdown that you saw went the other way that was really frustrating there. So it could have been bigger here for the Chiefs, but 19 for 77 for Damian Williams as the lead back, 5 for 32. He did also lose that key fumble in this game, but he's clearly the lead back here because LeSean McCoy was made and healthy and active in this game. So LeSean McCoy, it's over. Dump him. He shouldn't be on rosters anymore. Williams clearly now their lead back with the 24 touches for 109 yards there this week. Tyreek Hill, what can you say? He was Tyreek Hill. 11 for 157 on 19 targets. That's right. Scored a TD. Travis Kelce was a little bit more efficient. Caught all 7 targets for 75 and a score. Mecole Hardman on the great jump pass play by Mahomes. 1 for 63 and a score. So it's hard between Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson. Who else is going to get it done? But Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce are finally producing like the elite performers they are, and that's tied in with Mahomes when he's dealing like this. So you want the Chiefs' defense to be as bad as possible because it's really helping the Chiefs' offense put up more and more numbers in these games. And you'll take that, but again, absolutely not trusting this Chiefs' defense to do anything. And mention them being a trap here in this game. A lot of people played them in fantasy. I think it was a big mistake, and you see why with the outcome of the game. Now, we still have 4 more games to talk about, but first I've got to tell you about DoorDash. Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, you, the listener Locked On Fantasy Football, can get $5 off your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. We'll be right back here to break down the final 4 games of the Week 10 Sunday action. All right, let's close the show. We'll look at the last 4 games here, the 4 o'clock games and your Sunday night football game, the Cowboys and Vikings. Now, here's another disappointment of the week. Colts 16-12 lose at home, 16-12 to the Dolphins here. The Dolphins on a winning streak, 2 games in a row here. Really bizarre things that happened. Brian Hoyer had to start with Jacoby Brissett out. He looked terrible. 3 interceptions. Had 1 TD and went to Jack Doyle, so he came through. And Eric Ebron, 5 for 56, Doyle, 3 for 44. But Ebron was targeted 12 times. I don't know why that happened, and it didn't work when he catch only 5 of them. So there's that. So we thought the tight ends could do a little bit more. They did without T.Y. Hilton and Paris Campbell here. But Zach Pascal, what happened to him? He was locked in. Just a bad game for Hoyer. I mean, he was facilitating these guys well last week against Pittsburgh, but this week against the Dolphins just looked completely off his game and really dragged down the rest of the offense. Now, Marlon Mack, I mean, he's such a frustrating player at this point. He actually had a catch in this game, but 20 touches for 82 yards, but nowhere near in the end zone as usual. It's just so hard. I mean, you grind out yards and you get nothing from Marlon Mack. So this Colts setup is really a mess. They really need Brissett back. I mean, Hilton not being there takes away the deep threats. Campbell's also a big playmaker, so squeezes this offense quite a bit, and just really struggling right now to get anything done. And you just can't feel good right now if you own anything on the Colts. Now, with the Dolphins, you can't start feeling better about owning Dolphins. That's right. I mean, Devontae Parker, another solid game, 5 for 69 on 10 targets for PPR. Clearly the number one receiver. Everything else is kind of a mess here without Preston Williams healthy. Kalen Ballage, okay, well, it's not pretty, but 20 carries for 43 yards. He's still the lead guy that you have to look at here. So the volume says Kalen Ballage without Kenyon Drake there and Mark Walton is going to get every opportunity. He's just not very good to me. So I think if you've got better options, don't force Ballage just for the volume. But you also can't totally ignore the volume because they'll have some easier matchups than the Colts run defense here. Now, Ryan Fitzpatrick, just a weird game for him. He rushes in the touchdown. He kind of mocked the Colts a little bit, showing his wheels there. So Ryan Fitzpatrick, who knew, it's still not pretty for the Dolphins, but they won. And again, Devontae Parker's the only really fantasy asset that you're really trusting from the Dolphins going forward. Now, our next game that we'll look at the 425 window was the Packers 24, Panthers 16. Disappointing game for Aaron Rodgers. They went back to their old school ways of winning with running game and defense, so no touchdowns from Rodgers. I mean, I don't remember the time that Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees on a Sunday both had 0 touchdowns, so very hard to fathom there. But you had the Aaron Jones show game, the 3 touchdown game. We've seen this before, 13 for 93 against this really awful Panthers run defense, just totally undisciplined. So there's that. You have Jamal Williams, 13 for 63 looked good in relief, but didn't get the touchdown. That kind of hits his value. So Jones dominated here. Davante Adams finally looked like Davante Adams, at least 7 for 118 on 10 targets. So there's that. Davante was not totally right against the Chargers, but totally looked good. Unfortunately, nothing adds up to a touchdown here for Aaron Rodgers at all in this game. Now, on the other side, Kyle Allen throws for 307 and 1. Now, Curtis Samuel didn't like in this game, but he got in the end zone, 4 for 35 on 8 targets only, though. However, DJ Moore I really like. He's really getting a groove with Kyle Allen, 9 for 120 on 11 targets. So he's there every week. We told you we like Greg Olsen. He came through 8 for 98 on 10 targets. So sometimes you have to read the game. Is it the intermediate receivers who are going to dominate, and Moore and Olsen are certainly that for Allen? Well, Samuel got the touchdown, but we knew he was not going to do much as a deep threat in this game. That came to fruition. Now, Christian McCaffrey, side note, we'll just tell you, it's a ho-hum game for him. Only 141 yards from scrimmage and one touchdown on 26 touches. So ho-hum there, but Moore is locked in here. Every week should be in there as your wide receiver three. He's just come through consistently now with Allen as the go-to guy there, as we all expected here for this offense. Our next game that we'll look at is the Rams and Steelers. And this one, yet another weird, surprising result here in week number 10. I mean, Jared Goff, what a mess. And Todd Gurley is not helping. 12 for 73 rushing for him. Jared Goff also goes touchdownless with two interceptions. It was pretty bad out there. Gerald Everett, 8 for 68, however, came through. We liked him without Brandon Cooks. Robert Woods, 7 for 95. There's someone missing from this box score. Oh, yeah, his name is Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp gets a zero. I don't know how this potentially happens. He is the crux, and when he plays well, Jared Goff usually plays well. The Kupp show was gone. The Steelers took him out of the game. That's incredible to me, but that's what happened. That's how bad Jared Goff and this offense was. So, yeah, so we're still looking for Cooper Kupp. If anyone's found him, please tell him to report here. So, Brandon Cooks, when one of these guys are gone, it totally disrupts the nature of everything. We saw that with Kupp missing time, hurt Woods and Cooks. Cooks is the deep threat, so he's going to hurt Kupp and his value underneath here in a brutal game here overall after he had 220 yards, by the way, receiving in the last game for the Rams. So it's either 220 yards or zero from Cooper Kupp. We're just kidding, but that has to be very frustrating. I think he'll get back, but good to see Robert Woods, if you had him do some damage again, 7 for 95, because he's been disappearing from the offense himself. So this Rams offense, if you hitched a ride to it, you're just totally lost and can't believe what you're seeing here at all. Now, with the Steelers, their offense is not that much better, but they do get 6 for 90 from James Washington, the touchdown from Mason Rudolph that actually saves the day here. Otherwise, the Steelers would have lost an ugly, low-scoring game themselves. Jalen Samuels just looked terrible, 17 for 40. I mean, they need James Conner back. I mean, Jalen Samuels is not meant to be overexposed that much. Trey Edmonds didn't look that great, 6 touches for 15 yards. They had to put Tony Brooks James in, 6 for 11. So you can usually run the Rams. The Steelers were not able to do that at all. Juju Smith-Schuster, 3 for 44 and 6 targets, but he was also behind Deontay Johnson this one, 4 for 64 and 6. So Mason Rudolph has really killed Juju Smith-Schuster's value in really tough matchups, and that's what happened here against Jalen Ramsey. As we expected, we didn't like him to do much, and that actually came to fruition in this game. So disappointing overall with the Steelers' offense. Steelers' defense, however, very viable. They get Cleveland on the road, however, on Thursday night, so something to watch. But Minkah Fitzpatrick alone is their best fantasy value right there from that defense. So I think you can certainly play them against Baker Mayfield on Thursday. But, yeah, not much there. They need Connor back. They really miss Antonio Brown, and that's pretty much it here for the Steelers. Now, finally, let's close by looking at the great Sunday night football game between the Vikings and Cowboys. Good for fantasy for the most part, unless you had Zeke Elliott. And the Cowboys insisted on establishing the run, even though the Vikings were good at that. This is the worst home game that Ezekiel Elliott has ever had, folks. 20 carries for 47 yards, 2 catches for 16, no touchdowns. Pretty awful game for Ezekiel Elliott in a primetime spot that you never see. But Dak Prescott owners, you're thrilled. You would have done without that last Hail Mary interception in the loss, 28-24, but 397-3, really, they let him loose. It should have been something like 450-5, but course, the Cowboys do dumb things, and that's what they did in this one. Amari Cooper, 11 for 147 in a score. What can you say? He was questionable going into this game, but certainly not questionable with his talent and what he did. Michael Gallup comes through with a touchdown on 4 for 76 on 10. Randall Cobb, 6 for 106 on 8 targets. So he has a little bit more value now. Blake, it's pretty much Cooper, Cobb, Gallup, Jarwin, and Witten. Those are your receivers now. Ezekiel Elliott is pretty much gone. So with Cobb's presence and now Jarwin helping Witten, you don't really need Zeke much because it's a downfield passing game. That's what we're seeing quite a bit here from this game. Now, unfortunately, the Cowboys lost because they forced Elliott, but the Vikings won, however, because they force-fed Dalvin Cook. I mean, 26 rushes for 97. It's only 3.7 there, but gets a score, plus 7 catches for 86. He's the man here. He's the lifeblood of the offense, especially without Adam Thielen in there. Now, Stephon Diggs, second straight bad game without Thielen. 3 for 49 on 6 targets for Diggs. So, really disappointing game for Diggs. Kyle Rudolph, again, I told you about him being the beneficiary when Thielen was out. It happened again. 4 catches, 14 yards there only, but 2 touchdowns. He is the red zone target of choice there without Thielen. And the Cowboys are pretty bad, and we know Jeff Heath covering the tight end. So all things came better. We didn't get the volume, but you got the 2 scores from Rudolph. In this tight end landscape, you'll certainly take that any day of the week. But Thielen doesn't necessarily help Diggs here because Diggs gets all the attention, Byron Jones, all that. It does open things up because there's attention for Diggs that Cook opened things up here for the short passing game. And Cook, I think, right there with Lamar Jackson as fantasy football MVP this season. So there you have it. There's a look at the Vikings-Cowboys to wrap up here our Week 10 Sunday takeaway. So some good insight there, some good breakdown, some very big games, some very small games, and we had to navigate through all that and give you what you need to know and take into Week 11. Don't forget, we'll have one more takeaway analysis there with the Seahawks and 49ers on Monday night. We'll also turn our attention to the waiver wire. That's for Pickup Tuesday. Then we go back-to-back matchups on Matchup Wednesday and Matchup Thursday. Then look at DFS specifically on Lineup Friday. So yet another week in our progressive known as Locked On Fantasy Football has begun. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time here on Locked On Fantasy Football. This is Vinny Iyer.